right, you lot. Come in. So, my name is Bryony Kimmings. I'm going to read, sorry, I don't have time to learn my show lines and these lines. So. Excuse me. I'm a slightly pregnant, loud-mouthed feminist performance artist slash comedian slash theatre maker. I think that sums it up. I can't really put myself in any particular box anymore, so I'm just going to say the slashies. Are you in costume? Yeah, she's in costume. Okay, great. Just suddenly like, wow, that's an interesting look. I'm very excited to be here to welcome you all, and all of you here, and also those that will kind of hear about this happening in the press. Having previewed yesterday at the Traverse in a space that, well, I've never sort of worked in this particular type of space before, I spent the rest of the evening crying, eating ice cream, getting really hacked off with myself for the fact that I bought second-hand mics on eBay, wondering whether the jokes that I tell about depression will ever actually be funny again. And that being said, that means that the Fringe is now officially open. and if I was allowed to, I'd like pop open some champagne, spray it all over you, drink it, and then be drunk for the rest of the speech. But I can't do that now, so life has changed so much for me. Now, when I was asked to give this address, I was so touched, I did a little cry. Because the Fringe has been so instrumental to the career that I love today that I feel that this city and this festival literally courses through my veins. I feel alive when I get off the train. I feel like a little fizz of excitement in my stomach as I run my hands down the posters in the grass market. And I get this amazing lump in my throat when I see people walking towards me in the street that maybe I've spent so many times with over the past few years. So I agreed to do it so I could get the chance to maybe sum up some of my experiences that I've had, and also ask other people to share their experiences with me so I could share them with you. And also just a chance to celebrate the phenomena that's unfurling in the papers and in posters and in pop-up spaces all around the city before we blink and it disappears. Some stories, some thoughts and some advice. Edinburgh Fringe. I've written here, the bane of my life, the focus point of any given making year, the hatching ground of new projects, the breaking of a show, the opportunity to make a mint, or the chance to lose it all. It is a beast, and it's rare to tame it, and in some ways you just have to get on it and ride it for 3.5 weeks and be careful not to fall off it or crack your head open or drown in its, you know, drown in its drool. and then get off at the end and go, what the fuck just happened? Yeah? So I've had some fun trying to remember my favourite Fringe and my worst Fringe from sort of legends that I've made in my head and stories that are sort of drunkenly mixed up together. So we'll start there. Two really silly snapshots. So my first ever proper Edinburgh, I've been before a few times for different, you know, in different shows, high leg kicking on Miss High Leg Kicks bus and various other things, was my first solo show in 2010, Sex Idiot. It was at the zoo venues. I can't really thank them enough for taking me on because I must have sounded like an absolute nutter on the phone when I was saying, yes, I'm going to have scissors and I'm going to get people to cut off their pubes. And they were just like, who is this nutter? my seat was 30 seats. My venue was 30 seats. I think it was called the Den or like the Hovel. What was it called, Jess?
I think it's the Den.
The Den, yeah, not the Hovel. That would be the Den. The Hellhole. Do you remember we had 6 lights and we had to refocus them every show and just playback, I think, like on one channel. And I think now it's a storeroom because I went there last year. It was at the Zoo Roxy, which isn't the Zoo Roxy anymore, and I went down the steps and I wanted to peek into it, but it was all boxes and cobwebs and my heart broke slightly. It was like 2 rows on 3 sides, about 2.5 metres of space to perform in, about this size, actually. And it was 50 minutes of me screaming at the audience about ex-boyfriends and then getting them to cut off their pubes at the end. Everything about it should have been terrible, but for some reason, I don't know what it was, stars aligning, trends being set by other artists at the festival, or just a newfound penchant for loud female comics, it was a hit. Out of nowhere. Good reviews from big papers that had never happened to me before. Lots of invites to do slots. I had a gig at Soho Theatre before I'd even finished. I left the festival with a Total Theatre Award. And I remember that summer as the first bouquet ever sent to me by a very strange fan. I remember skipping from party to party. It's in my head, it's sunny, laughing hard with my producer. And it was... and I can picture sunshine and Prosecco and taxis. That's what I can remember. Taxis. So glamorous. Now, flash forward a year. And I find myself standing in the rain outside a flat just that little bit too far from the centre of town, an unfinished script in my bag, a very, very angry and worried tech standing next to me, and a very different feeling in the gut of my stomach. The show was 7 Day Drunk, my difficult second album. I'd spent July slogging my guts out at Jackson's Lane Studio in London trying to make any show out of this material that I'd made in a 7 day drinking experiment with a team of scientists to prove to a friend of mine that alcohol had no direct relation to creativity, and by doing so proving that alcohol had great relevance to creativity. That year, no awards. 2 to 3 star reviews. Audible whispers of, yeah, she made Sex Idiot, but... I picture hangovers, leaky shoes, really bad ecstasy tablets, a throat infection, and the worst feeling of not understanding how to make art or what an audience wanted, as I buried my head in the sand, prayed for it to be over, and cried a lot on the phone to my mother. Such different experiences in the space of just 1 year. But those two polar extremes can sum up how this festival can go for all of us and allow us to keep our feet on the ground as we begin a new journey. It could be great, and it could be an absolute fucking disaster. And the truth is that at this stage, none of us know how it's going to go. And I think that that might be part of this festival's seduction for artists. The whiff of a hit. And I think that we have the best job in the world and that we're very lucky to be here. But believe me, we've all played to two people. And we've all hit bum notes as we sung and the man from the public reviews is in the front row scowling at us. And we've all cried when we've walked off stage. So I hope for you that this year is more like my Sex Idiot sunshine experience than my miserable weather of 7 day drunk. But if it's not, know that next year is another year. And tomorrow, we're all fish and chip shop paper anyway. Next, I want to talk to you about this tremendous community. Community. Sorry, I'm just laughing my own voice sometimes. Community. Oh! With 3,193 shows here last year, the Edinburgh Fringe can feel like a lonely, isolating and damn right alien place for all of us, especially if you're new. And it's like doing the first day of school times a million whilst naked or something like that. You don't know what the word PR means and you feel silly because someone says it to you. Your venue doesn't look like it did on the floor plan on the Pleasance's website. There's a pillar in the middle of it. You had absolutely no idea that ScotMid stopped selling booze at like 7:30. And your flyers haven't arrived. And what you do have at your disposal, however, is about 10,000 people who are willing to help you out. And now I've been to festivals all over the world, and I've never at any one of them been so happy that so many people are so willing to help one another, be it advice, or flyering, or hugs, or cups of tea, or sitting in your show when you've got the Financial Times in and no one's booked a ticket. My one gleaming recommendation to everybody for every festival of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe is to talk to people and to help everyone. Nothing bad ever came of being friendly and helpful and supportive of strangers, and this fringe is built on the goodwill of artists and comedians. That extends to the services here at Fringe Central, which I've used many times, the seminars, which are free, and the advisory sessions, and also extends to your venue team, who might be going But actually, as soon as you stop them, they'll be lovely to you. God, even the angry theatre bloggers will give you some advice if you buy them a drink. Asking for help is allowed, encouraged, and how I learn absolutely everything I know today. Now let's talk about press. Sorry if you're all in here. I'm not going to be mean, I promise. So I could be considered to be a person who likes to court the press here in Edinburgh and beyond. I very much consider infiltrating the international press platforms that surround us all in everyday life as an integral part of my actual artistic practice. Anyone who followed my Catherine Bennett project that became Credible, Likeable, Superstar, Role Model, the show, will know that as it reached 36 million people worldwide, art can reach people just as much through the Sun as it can through the National. And over the past decade, I've learnt some stuff that I'm happy to pass on. So these are my crappy press tips. You can tell me that it's to suck eggs or whatever it is they say. Oh, that's nice. I'm a bit worried I might need a wee, see? Okay, press tip number one. Make a show about a newsworthy topic, if you want. Now, I don't mean choose a subject matter that's already being talked about in the press, but rather what you think the press should be talking about tomorrow. I choose what I think of as public secrets to make my work around, the things that everybody knows but no one yet talks about. This usually means that I'm seen as some kind of provocateur or the poker of stigmas and taboos, and people want to talk about this in the paper because it's exciting. Press tip number two. Write the blurb for your show like a human being talking to another human being. Which, obviously, the blurb makes up quite a large part of the press release. Tell them who you are, what the show is about, what it might feel like to come and see it, and what it looks like. It's not hard. Don't swirl it all up with buzzwords and lies. And not actually simply communicate what the show is going to be about. Number three, have a cracking image. That's obvious. But for me, a cracking image is something that catches the eye, but it's also smart. It tricks you. I like my sexy image. It's a woman riding a swan. And you're like, what the fuck is that? And then you want to watch the show. Simple, really. What the fuck is that? Show it to people. If they go, what the fuck is that? You'll be fine. Okay, number four. Have cracking press and production images. I love dressing up and getting my photograph taken. You might hate it, but if you don't, pick a photographer that you love. Yeah, I was like, this is awful, I hate doing all these moves. And then I know my photographers now, Krista Holker and Richard Davenport, so well that I don't feel embarrassed to do stuff in front of them. I think it's good to garner a good relationship with your photographer. Press tip number five, make sure your show is what it says it is, and that it's bloody good. Test it a fair bit before you put it in front of the world's press, in front of people that you trust their opinion. Don't let it be seen for the first time ever in front of Lynn Gardner. Lesson learnt. Boom, easy. But don't just listen to me. I asked an expert. I don't know if she's in there anymore. She's over there, look, standing like, you know, hot pants over there. Kelly Fogarty, or Kay Fogg, as she's known to us, is currently the Soho Theatre's head of press, but she's also worked at the Assembly, and she was head of press at Melbourne International Comedy Festival. She knows everything and everyone, and she says, one way to piss off the press is to not have done your homework. Get online and find out what they've covered in the past, what subjects they're interested in, and what themes they've picked up on recently. Don't pitch them something they've covered on last week's programme, yesterday's blog or today's paper. Send one-page press releases and don't stalk people. It's weird. Also, be nice. Think of it from the press's perspective. The festival can be just as tough on them, and lonely, actually. I've seen critics standing in queues with tears running down their faces, running between shows, writing up the reviews, living on just as little sleep and being harangued by 3,000 performers, their publicists and their agents. So I feel a bit sorry for the press too. They've got to do probably more work than we have to do, actually. Now, let's talk about art. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah, let's get loose. No, that's not. Okay, so be you a comedian. I don't know how many of you are a comedian. Or involved in the making of theatre. It's different. You have what is commonly known as a craft. And during these 3 weeks, you have a very luxurious opportunity that sometimes we forget. One that presents itself very rarely. You have 23 chances to get that elusive little bugger of a show right. Now, I know some people make work differently. I've just done the festivals in Perth, Adelaide and Melbourne, so I'm slightly more prepared than I normally would be this year. But the majority of you are probably looking down the barrel of a brand new show. And I like to see Edinburgh Fringe not only as a chance to showcase your wares, like you'll be told a lot for booking, for profile raising or for potential press, but also as an excellent chance to hone said craft, to learn something new every day about audience reactions, about the way you write, about the effect you're having on the minds of the people sitting in front of you as you test things. If you do not use this festival as a chance to get better at your job, you're really missing a trick. I really feel like I'm here to work. Of course, there's an incredible chance to play too. God. I'm so gutted that I don't get to do any of it. But it's a great chance to get super geeky about your practice as well. Make notes. Change things. Use the time to play. Keep tweaking it. Everybody knows that the show hasn't found its sea legs until week 3. Everybody knows that. So use the chance. You get to do the job you love every day and possibly even get paid for it. So if you hate your show at the beginning, turn it into something that you absolutely love by the end. Don't give up. If I were you, and I do this, I would ask these questions of the work. I'll put these on my blog so you don't have to write them down if you can't be bothered. What question am I asking of the world with this work? And am I answering it clearly and thoroughly? The question that I asked for a credible, likeable superstar role model was, why is the world trying to sexualise and commodify childhood? That was it. What three things do I want my audience to leave with? For credible again, I had quite ambitious ideas. I looked this up in my notebook, it was quite embarrassing. I wanted people to, 1, cry for the loss of their childhood. 2, think carefully about the pop culture that they consume. And 3, leave wanting to do something about changing the world. Ambitious, but why the fuck not? And the third question, am I, as a human, or my character, if you don't play a human, if you're not being a human, am I or my character changed by the end of the work? We all know that stories revolve around the protagonist changing in some way by the end. So, or perhaps if it's stand-up comedy, is everything working towards the most excellent and amazing payoff at the end and callback? They're my 3 suggestions anyway. I do go home, my fiance gets really annoyed with me. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just changing some stuff. All the time. If the answers are foggy, keep going. Let's all try and be excellent this year. Why would we not? So let's balance that out. How long have I been rabbiting on for? All right, fine. We're all right, don't worry. To balance the art chat, let's talk about business for a second. So we all know that Edinburgh Fringe is a marketplace, but this doesn't mean that it's a one-way street. You also control the market. Don't forget that you have power in the scenario. The way I see it working is this. You plough your heart and your hard-earned cash into getting here. You pay your venue fee, your brochure fee, your marketing fees, as well as all that money that it goes into actually making the show, whether that be doing all the stand-up gigs that you can to get here, or us lucky buggers getting money off the Arts Council just to fuck about. And it costs money. So if that is the case, then you should be paying a little bit of attention to the fact that you might get some of that back as a return. It really irks me when performers and companies I meet say, oh well, Edinburgh's a loss for everybody. Because it's actually not true. There's plenty of people making shitloads of cash behind your back. If you're a savvy businesswoman like I am, you can make sure that you don't just break even, but you pay yourself too. Obviously not if you're in a 25-seater venue with 50 people in your cast, but I'd say you made a bad decision in February if you did that. And yes, the first few years may need to be an investment for the future, but after that you can expect to start seeing a return. That might be in the future gigs you get by inviting the right people to come and see the work. But if this is going to be a proper job, you need to make every seat count. Paper the first few shows to get a buzz going. You need that buzz. Flyer hard. Hire a really good PR. It's expensive, but it's totally worth it. Keep asking the question, how the fuck do I get people in here, into this room? Don't give up. It's very likely you find yourself with a hit in the final week when the first two have absolutely sucked. It's happened to loads of us. So, my top five pieces of advice for festival sanity. These might have, you might have seen these in a blog anyway. Secondhand information, sorry guys. I'm a busy lady. No, not really. Eat healthily. Smash into your mouth the five a day that you need. I'm serious. Cook for yourself 2 to 3 times a week, else you will get ill. Get out of the city on your day off. If you haven't taken a day off, you're an idiot. Next time, make sure you do. Go to the countryside or beach and breathe in the glorious Scottish air. It will clear your mind and everything will feel all right again. Use the facilities and the services of the Fringe Society. Come here and do everything. Knowledge is power. Don't sweat the bad stuff. Try not to fixate on bad reviews or tiny audiences. You will drive yourself utterly insane and it's really bad for your emotional well-being. Set those thoughts adrift, compartmentalise them, or do something about them. Don't dwell. And finally, make lots of friends. Literally be kind to everybody. Now, I've got some other bits of advice from other people. I'm bored of listening to my own advice now. From other great people that have I've texted and said, give me some advice. Text. I'm like 14. not MSN. Okay, this is some advice from like fringe regulars, people that have smashed it sometimes, or people that work in the industry. So Steve Locke, comedy producer at the Soho Theatre and drinking buddy of mine, says... This is really, I really love the fact that he says this. As a top-notch comedy producer, brackets, ha, I look through the brochure for stuff I don't know. And I look through the brochure for stuff I don't know about that I think sounds interesting. I talk to people about what they've seen, performers, punters, anyone who'll listen. I want to be open to new experiences and try lots of new things. That's what I think this festival is about. Oh, that makes me feel good. That's, he found me in the dungeon. Dungeon? Did I call it? The hovel. The hovel at the zoo. Yeah, so he obviously goes through the brochure and he finds everybody, so that's really encouraging for me. Nathan Allison, who was my excellent technician for my first ever visit and now is always hanging around teching me, techs get thrown in at the deep end, he says. If they swim, they are legends. Treat them like part of your company. Be specific about exactly what you want them to do, but let them be creative too. They really appreciate that. Remember, they'll be there for hours before you get there and hours after you leave. Most of them are there because they want to be and they do give a fuck. Listen to them, be patient, and everyone gets results. Or the techs. Okay, poet and dandy Luke Wright says, I always climb Arthur's Seat. I always have a duvet day on my day off, and I always drink too much and make as many friends as possible. BBC Radio 1's Gemma Kearney says, the shows that have struck me down, left me at their mercy, have always been those that have resonated authenticity, that cannot be ignored. Whether it be fantasy or political, if your cast believes what they are offering, other people will too. John Peel enthusiast and writer John Osborne, he says, if you want to stay up all night, you're allowed. If you want to go to bed early, you're allowed. Work really hard so that in September you don't look back and wish you had more of your time at the festival. Now for a couple of locals. I'm nearly done, guys. Don't get bored. Okay, so I wanted to have a couple of Edinburgh people's experiences. So Fringe First winning artist Jenna Watt, who lives in the city. Thank your audience for choosing to spend their time with you. Pick up your litter and don't be a dick to strangers. Short but sweet. Brilliant activist and one of my favourite writers, Kieran Hurley, who's also a Scottish chap and lives in the city. Remember that Edinburgh is an actual, real, year-round place. And not just an overblown industry playground. Try not to be too disgruntled with any locals who appear to be shitty or reluctant hosts, unless you can match that expectation with the humility of being a good guest. Remember this not just because it's respectful, but also because if you can remember that Edinburgh is a place and not just a state of mind, you will also remember that the world does not begin and end with the goldfish bowl of the Fringe. Whether you're smashing it with Fringe First and five-star reviews or reluctantly dragging your ass to the end in front of two people a day, holding on to this truth can be an important act of self-care. Get on a 26 bus and walk along Portie Beach. Get on a 44 bus and take a walk in the Pentlands. Make friends, see shows, book in a short holiday for the start of September. One more. Bootworks director Rob Daniels says, remind yourself, I like this one, remind yourself why you decided to do the Fringe in the first place. Was it the jolly or the crack? Was it to cut your teeth, to promo a new show, to bed a show in, or whatever? And focus on doing that thing well. It won't guarantee success, but you'll have a clear aim to reach and clear objectives to follow, and you won't be able to blame other reasons for it not going to plan. Don't be a cunt. And finally,
I've sworn like so many times.
My mum would be so angry. Okay, I have a few recommendations. These are just people that I've seen their previews and stuff, and I just wanted to share with you. I'm sure all your shows are amazing too, and if you tweet me, I'll retweet it. My Beautiful Black Dog is a wonderful show about depression by Bridget Aphrodite at the Underbelly. An Oak Tree by Tim Crouch is the best play that I've ever seen. It's on at the Travers for just 1 week. Please go, it's excellent. Dave by Australian stand-up comedian Zoe Coombs-Mart was my favourite thing that I saw in Adelaide. I nearly died about 50 times. It's so funny and so excellent. She plays every possible male comedian as a sort of parody. It's amazing. Brute by very, very new artist Isabel Tennyson. Looks like it's going to be really great. And I love her. She's going to be me. Head to see... And I'm going to be like, I hate her! Why did she get to do the Fringe address this year? Please, head to see some dance. It's the industry I worked in before I became an artist, and I feel like it could do with some help get becoming something much bigger at the Fringe. So Dance Space or Zoo for some excellent dance this year. And I'm probably not allowed to say this, but go to Forest Fringe for the day. It's a different kind of vibe, and go and watch lots of different stuff. Brian LaBelle's down there fixing wigs. My best friend, Scotty. Now, I've written here, this is the end of my speech. Have the best of times. Have the worst of times. But just fucking have it. Thank you.